cold, snowy January Wednesday evening could be for you a very eventful and special evening if God the Holy Spirit is pleased to apply his word and his message to your heart tonight. It could be a very eventful time. It can be just another preaching service, just another church service, which most of them are. But I want you to turn to Ephesians 5:21 and look strongly at this word in verse 21, the first word, submitting. And I submit to you that this word, one word, submitting, is the key to spiritual happiness. It's the key to peace. It's the key to finding the will of God. It's the key to harmony in the home, in the heart, in the church, and in the world. And it'll do for you what no medicine can do. It'll do for you what no human can do. It'll do for you what only God can do. And that's my text tonight, submitting. Ephesians 5:21, submitting. The key to happiness. Now the world is full of books on how to be saved and how to be a useful Christian, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and how to lead a victorious life, and how to win friends and influence people, and how to be happily married, and how to build a Christian home, and they're worth just about what you'd give for them to make fire, or make paper to light a fire. That's just about all they're good for. Without the least bit of fear that I'm oversimplifying such a difficult thing as our relationship with the living God and our relationship with one another, without the least fear, I don't have the slightest fear that I'm oversimplifying this thing at all. I submit to you, I boldly state to you, that the key to all of your problems is found in one word. And that word is right here in Ephesians 5:21. And that word is submit. And the word means to yield, to surrender to the power, control, and authority of another. That's exactly what it means. The word submit means to yield, to surrender, an unconditional surrender to the power, control, and authority of another. Now, as I was preparing this message, the first thought that came to my mind when I looked up that definition, what does this word submit mean? Submitting yourself. Now, you can't submit me. And you can't submit the fellow, the lady next to you. You are the only one that you can submit. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. And you can submit yourself, but you can't do one thing. This is not a message you can take to anybody else. This is a message for you, for me, and it can't be given to anybody else. If you don't hear it, then perhaps somebody else will. But now the first thing I thought of was this. This word is offensive. It's offensive to my flesh. It's offensive to the will of the flesh. It's offensive to the pride of the flesh. It's offensive to the desires of the flesh. This word submitting is offensive. That's the first thing. When you come to someone and say, yield yourself unconditionally, surrender to the power, control, and authority of another, the old flesh rears up in anguish, and I will not. And that's the sin of the flesh. It's I will not. That was the sin of Satan. He says, I will be like God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will mount my throne above the stars. I will, I will, I will. And that was Adam's sin. He said, I will be like God. That was the basis of the whole thing. You know, when you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. And when they saw that it was good to the taste and to the sight, they took it. This was the word at the cross. We will not have this man reign over us. We will not have it. We will not submit. We will not yield. We will not surrender. We will not. And the flesh says no. The flesh says no. That's the whole conflict. Turn to Romans 8. Let me show it to you. That's the whole conflict. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans 8, 5, look at it. For they that are after the flesh, they're interested in the things of the flesh. That's their interest. That's their concern. They that are after the Spirit, they're interested in the things of the Spirit. And to be carnally minded, to be materially minded, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. It is not, what's that word, subject. It is not submissive. The carnal mind is not submissive to the will of God, to the law of God. And it can't be. The old flesh is not going to submit. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God because they will not submit. They will not be in subjection to God. Turn to Galatians 5. Here it is again. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Now let's look at this carefully. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another. Submit to one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust, the cravings of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, that you would. You do the things that God would. You do the things that your friends would. You do the things that the church would. You don't do the things that you would. The will of God for us, for me, for you, whether in the church or the home or in private life, the will of God can only be found when there is a willingness on our part to submit to the will of God. God is not going to reveal His will until there is on our part a willingness to submit to it. It would be a waste of time to reveal His will to you if there was no willingness to submit to it. People talk about they can't find the will of God. Well, they don't have any intention of doing it. Why should God reveal it to them? I can't find what God would have me do. God's not going to reveal to us what He would have us do because He knows it will meet with a rebellious spirit. It will meet with a spirit that is not surrendered. It's not submissive. This is the key. Submitting yourselves. And I know it's a word that the flesh abhors and hates because the flesh is proud. But it's still the word. And what's the next line here in verse 21? Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, the Amplified says, out of reverence to the Lord, out of submission to the Lord Himself. When you are submitting yourself unto the people of God, you're submitting yourself to God. This is the moving cause. This is the motive for submission to authority. And yielding ourselves to one another is yielding ourselves to God because all authority is of God. Turn to Romans 13. Let me show you that. In other words, when I obey the laws of the land, I'm obeying God. In Romans 13, listen to this. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive damnation, to themselves damnation. Obey for a wife to obey her husband is obeying the Lord. For a husband to love his wife and treat her as she ought to be treated is for him to obey the Lord. For children to obey their parents is for them to obey the Lord. To disobey their parents is for a child to disobey God. Submission to the laws of the land is submission to God. Submission to spiritual leaders, pastors and teachers, is submission to God. For Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you in Christ's stead. It's no light thing to hear a message and walk away and say, well, I'm not going to do what that says. I'm not going to submit to that. I'm not going to buy that. That's just his opinion. Well, could be God's opinion. And the only way God will speak to us is through his word and through his messenger. If you want the key to spiritual joy and spiritual happiness and spiritual growth and spiritual peace, it's right here in this one verse. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord out of reverence and submission to the Lord himself. And outside of this area, I think, faithfully and truthfully say to you, there's no blessing. Out of this area, there cannot be a blessing, because when you move out of this area of submission, you're getting into the area of rebellion and self-will. And that's the greatest sin. That's the chief sin. All right, let's look at these one at a time. Now, first of all, the first submission is to Christ. The first submission is to Christ. Submit yourselves, first of all, to Christ. The Scripture tells us this, as many as received him. And the first time I ran into this word was 20-odd years ago when Brother Barnard was preaching one time. And he said this, John 1, verse 12, the word receive, he said, is submit. To as many as received him, or to as many as submit to Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now, Christ is our Savior. He's our Savior from sin. The angel said to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He is our Savior. We receive him as our Redeemer, our Lord, Savior, our priest. But Christ is also our Lord. And we submit to him as our Lord. And his greater glory becomes our chief desire. When we savingly submit to Christ, it is not our glory that we seek, but his glory. His gospel becomes our delight. His word becomes our rule of life. His will becomes our prayerful goal. His people become our coveted companions. His worship becomes our enjoyable occupation. And to win Christ and to be found in him is our one object in life. That's when we submit to him. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, when Christ spoke to him, he fell on his face and he cried, Lord, Master, King, Sovereign, what will you have me do? That's submission. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be what? To be Lord. And believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's the Lord of our lives. It's the Lord, Eli said. Let him do what he will. It's the Lord. All right, secondly, look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submit. There's the word. I say that it's the key to happiness. It's the key to prosperity, spiritual prosperity. It's the key to peace and joy. All believers submit. That's the entrance into the kingdom of God, is submission to Christ. But then we come right on down the line. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, contrary to what is taught today, And I know this would not make Reader's Digest, and this would not make McCall's Magazine, and this wouldn't make Woman's Home Companion, and this wouldn't make a marriage manual, but contrary to what is taught today, marriage is not a partnership. And for any couple to enter marriage as a partnership, they're entering it on a wrong basis. A scriptural marriage, I'm talking about scriptural marriage now, Bible marriage, is not at all a 50-50 proposition. No way. And there are two reasons given right underneath verse 23. Here's the first reason. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's the first reason it's not a partnership. That's the first reason it's not a 50-50 proposition, because the husband is the head. You can't have two heads. You got a monster. The husband is the head of the wife. That's the first reason why marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. And watch this. He's the head of the wife in the same way that Jesus Christ is head of this church. Now, I ask you tonight, how many of you would dare question the authority of Jesus Christ in this church? How many of us, this preacher or any of you, would for a moment, just would for a moment, in any way question his right to do as he pleases with this church? Well, we wouldn't do it. But why? Well, he's the head of the church, preacher. In the same way, in every scriptural home, there can be only one head. And God Almighty has ordained that head to be the husband. All right, secondly, verse 24. Here's the second reason why no marriage is a 50-50 proposition. It's not a partnership. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Everything. How is this church subject to Christ? Well, we're subject to Him as our head, as our supreme authority, as our Lord, as our ruler. Well, it says here, clear as words can make it, that in the same way the wife is to be subject to her husband as the church is subject to Jesus Christ. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, no other arrangement will ever be blessed of God. It won't be blessed of God, I promise you. God will not bless rebellion. Submit yourselves. And when we start this thing off, I had to start with the first place in order to be a believer. I'm not talking to fools now. I'm talking to believers. Every believer starts out the Christian road by submitting to Christ. He's the authority. He's the head. And then secondly, he deals with the wives, and he says they are to submit to their husband. Let's look at some scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Now, this is God's word. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, sovereign, absolute, supreme, tyrant, dictator, master, king. Christ. No question. And the head of the woman is the man. And to question that is to rebel against God. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 5 and 6. Listen to this. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, and that's who I trust I'm talking to, those who trust in God, adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Turn to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says here, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor, watch this, to usurp authority. Nor to usurp authority over the man. but to be in silence. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'll turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. Now listen to this, 1 Corinthians 13, 34. Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It's a shame for a woman to speak in church. Now look back at our text a moment. Submitting yourself. And as I said, this word grates human pride. It is objectionable. It is offensive to the proud heart. It's offensive to the lust of the flesh that wants itself to be lifted up and wants itself to be exalted, wants itself to be acknowledged. But this submission on the part of the wife will bring honor and respect. Look down at verse 33 of Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And that word reverence there is honor and respect. And see that she speak respectfully to him and of him. She will do nothing without his consent. She will submit to him not only material decisions, but spiritual decisions. She will provide him physical joy and comfort, mental joy and comfort, emotional joy and comfort in a happy home. And rebellion against this word is rebellion against God, and to me, constitutes an unregenerate heart. All right, thirdly now, submit. But this is the key to happiness. This is the key to happiness in any area, is to do what God says. And God's word says submit to one another. To one another. In submitting to one another, you're submitting to God. Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. In the Lord. All right, now look at the next In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, though the wife is in subjection, she is not a slave. The church is in subjection to Christ, but the church is his bride. He calls the church his jewels. He calls the church his favorite possession. The church is in subjection to Christ, but the church is not a slave. The church is a bride. The church is a favorite possession. The church is a jewel. And that's the way a husband is to love his wife. Though she is in obedience to him, she is not to be oppressed by him. The church is obedient to Christ, but the church is favored with his choice blessings, with his kindness, with his grace. Watch this. Though the wife is beneath her husband's head, he's not supposed to be beneath her feet, his feet. Though she is beneath his head, he's her head. And though she is beneath his head, she's not to be beneath his feet. She's supposed to be in his heart. Christ loved the church, and he loved the church so much, he gave himself for the church. And the decisions that are made by the head of the church are for the good of the church and the blessings of the church and the comfort of the church. And even so, the decisions made by the husband are for the good of the wife and the blessings of the wife and the comfort of the wife. One old man said this. I thought it was real good. The wife is to submit to her husband's will and to her husband's wishes. But he also is to submit to her needs and her reasonable desires. For she is a wife of a spiritual covenant. Just as God made a covenant back in eternity and gave to His Son a bride, you and I made a covenant here on earth when we took out a marriage license and stood before the preacher. We made a covenant with our wives that we would protect, that we would provide, that we would care for them. And that's a covenant. It's a promise. And that wife who is a spiritual companion in a spiritual covenant, though she is in submission to her husband, is a blessing from God. And if she is a good wife, she's worthy to be spoiled. She's worthy to be spoiled with affection, with consideration, with comfort, and with love. Husbands, love your wives. And husbands, if they're good wives, spoil them. Oh, John Gill. You know, everybody talks about John Gill being such a dry, dead, cold theologian. I want you to listen to what he says about this verse. I've never found John Gill to be cold. I've never found him to be dead. I've never found John Gill to be without feeling. I've always found him. I think it's just the way you look at anything. You know, somebody said to me the other day, what a man is, or a man is known. This is what he said. A man is known not by what others say about him, but by what he says about others. And I think it all depends on the way you look at John Gill. I like what he says. That's the reason I like him. I like what he says. He says this: husbands, love your wives. Respect them. Seek their contentment. Seek their pleasure. Seek their satisfaction. Provide for them. Protect them. Conceal their faults. Show them love and affection not only in private but in public. Defend them before your children. Defend them before your parents. Defend them before your neighbors. There's no greater gift other than the gospel than a submissive scriptural wife. And there's no greater burden in all the world than one that's not. Proverbs 21. Let's go over there just a moment. This is what the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 21. Listen to this. Proverbs 21, verse 9. It says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That is a burden. That is a burden. And a contentious wife, he said, is like the continual dropping of the rain. It just never lets up. It never lets up. So in this submission, submitting, this is the key. This is the key. We all submit. He's the Lord. We submit to Him. That's the way salvation comes. That's the way redemption comes. That's the way life comes. But then the way happiness comes in a home is for the wife to recognize from the outset, and she doesn't then, when God saves her, she'll recognize it, that her husband is the head of the home. That she submits, that she surrenders, that she's in subjection to him. He's the priest. He's the one through whom God will lead a home and bless a home. God will not lead either a church or a home or a community or a nation through a woman. No way. If you ladies have any aspirations to be leaders, forget it. God will not take... He had one in the Garden of Eden that was a leader, and that's the last female leader we ever had. That's a fact. That's what Scripture said. For He says, for Eve was in the fall deceived. Adam was not deceived. The woman was. And since that time, based on that creation, and on that fall, God says the head of the woman is the man. But husbands, like John Gill says, love your wife. Spoil her. If you have a good one, spoil her. Be good to her, just like Christ is to the church. He spoils us. He's good to us. He overlooks our failures, faults, and everything else, and loves us, and gracious to us, and merciful to us. All right, now, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, submit to your parents. Obey your parents, for this is right. Now, I'm old-fashioned. And I'm old-fashioned in the sense that the Scripture's old-fashioned. I believe the Lord is the head of the man, the husband is the head of the wife, and the parents are the head of the children. I believe parents have authority over children. I'm talking about in the Lord now. I'm not talking about a drunken father and a vain, evil father who would lead you to steal. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about parents whose will is the spiritual happiness of their families. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. But the father and mother who has the spiritual well-being of a son or daughter at heart has absolute authority over that child. And for that child to rebel against that parent is to rebel against God Almighty. Now, we may talk about generation gaps and all that. I'll tell you what the gap is. It's unbelief. It's rebellion against God. That's the gap. To refuse to submit willingly to the wisdom and the will and the wish of your parents is to defy God Almighty Himself. That's exactly what it is. And you know, this obedience, this submission to our parents is not a slavish servitude. Well, I did what he said. I did what she said. No. We don't obey because we have to out of fear of discipline, but this true spiritual obedience is an obedience in which we honor our father and mother, in which we show respect for them. Now, you go back to a wife in submission to her husband. If she does this solely because it says so in the Bible, it's like worshiping God with the lip and not the heart. If she does it just because the preacher said do it, or because the Bible said do it, or because that's the law, she'll get no blessing. But she does it because she loves to do it. She wants to do it. She wants him to be honored. She wants him to be reverent. She wants him to be respected. And children, when they scripturally obey their parents, it's because they love God, and because they love God, they love their parents. They see God in their parents. They see God's authority. When you're riding down the highway, do you see God's authority in the law? When you're in the town and certain laws are the rule, do you see God's authority? And children who genuinely honor their father and mother, it's an honor and a respect and a reverence that comes out of a regenerated heart. They see God in their parents. They see God's wisdom and God's will. And their desire is to make their parents happy and to make them proud of the child. And I'm saying this, I don't think that this honor and respect is ever to cease. Now, Ed Ballard, your mother is right in this congregation here, lives in this town. I think you'd respect her and honor her, though you're a man over 40 years of age. I don't think there ever is. My parents are dead. Some of your parents are living. I don't care how old you get. I believe that our parents are to be respected and reverenced and honored and held in the highest esteem. I really do. I think that's... And God's not going to bless any other way. And it not only starts from a little child, it comes right on up. And you go back and read the Old Testament, you'll find Joseph respected his father and honored his father, though Joseph was Lord in Egypt. But he still reverenced his father. And you'll find it true of Isaac, and you'll find it true of all these great men of God throughout the Scriptures. They honored their parents. And it was from the heart. And I'm sincerely saying, I'm submitting to you this teaching from God's Word, that rebellion against authority is rebellion against God. And if you find in your heart tonight, if you find a rebellion against your parents, if you find, you husbands, a hatred for your wife, if you wives find in your heart rebellion against your husband, I'm telling you this, I'd seek the Lord. Because that rebellion and that unwillingness to submit to God, to that authority, is really a rebellion against God Almighty. You'll see that all the way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Now let's look at another scripture down in verse 5. Servants. Now this applies to to all of us who have jobs. We work for somebody. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Everybody here has got a boss. Everybody has got a foreman, a general foreman, a superintendent, and management. And we are servants. That's what we are. And you are to be obedient to them. You're to submit. There's that word again. Submit. According to the flesh, how? With fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. That's it. As unto Christ. When you out here working on this job for Ed Stevens, he's your employer, he's your boss, you're to work for him like you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And your honesty, you're working up at Charlie Miller's store, I don't care who, if the person's a Christian, they're working for him just like they're working for Jesus Christ. That's so. And you men who work not to steal from your employers, to steal from God. To loaf on the job is to dishonor God Almighty. To mistreat your boss or employer or speak against him is to speak against God Almighty. That's right. And we are to work. We're to do a good day's work in honesty, in strong effort, in dedication, in determination, as unto Christ. Look at verse 6. Not with eye service as men click. We're not doing it to get a pat on the back. That's not why we're doing it. But we're doing it as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Look at verse 7. With good will doing service as to the Lord. I'm God's son. I never could understand how preachers could loaf and never study or never and go into the pulpit without preparation. Man, we're ambassadors of the Son of God. We're servants of the living God. We're servants of the King. Not trying to please men or get along with men. We're trying to do something that will bring glory to our God. Submit. Submit. And I know it grates the flesh. I know that it does. And I know we go out there on a job and we don't feel like getting paid enough, or we don't feel like we've been treated just right, and we get called out when we're not supposed to work, and we carry a chip on our shoulder. Well, remember this. God's your boss. God's your boss. That's the whole thing. He's the boss man. And these fellas that are over you are under him. And whatever you do, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Look at down here at verse 9. You masters, you men that are workmen. Now some of you here tonight, you have men working for you. You have men working for you. Charlie, you got men, Eddie, some of the Lloyd, some of the rest of GT got men working for you. But now you watch this scripture here. You masters, you do the same things to them. You treat them like you want to be treated. Forbearing threatening. Don't mistreat them. Moderately, knowing that you got a master too, and he's in heaven. He's just a step beyond the superintendent's shack over there. He's on the throne. You remember, you got a master, and there's no respecter persons with him. The Lord one day said a fella called a man in, said, "You owe me some money." He said, "Well, I don't have it to pay. You owe me 500 talents of gold. I don't have a thing." "Well, I forgive you." So he skedaddled out, and some fella out there owed him 10 pieces of gold, and he got him by the throat, and he said, "You pay me, or I'll put you in jail." And somebody came in to the king, and he said, "You know that fella's just in here that you forgave that big debt?" "Yeah." "He's out there choking a fella because he owes him just a part of what you forgave." He said, "Go get him." They brought him in. He said, "Didn't I just forgive you of that awful debt?" "Yes, sir, and I appreciate it." "And you went right out and got another fellow by the neck and tried to make him pay you 10 pieces of gold?" "That's right." "Put him in prison and leave him there till he pays the whole debt," which he'll never do. And we've got to remember this. You got a master in heaven. And you work people. You work them in your homes, domestic help. You work them for yourself. That person's to be treated, to be paid just exactly like you expect him to treat you. That's the key. You say, boy, preacher, if that was in effect today, we'd get the job done. That's just what I'm saying. We'd get the job done. You wouldn't need a labor union. You wouldn't need arbitration. Nobody ever file a grievance. Wouldn't that be something? But this is for believers. This is for folks that know God. But it's still a key to happiness. And then you turn over to the last in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and he'll attack. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your enemy's not flesh and blood. It's just like Job didn't attack the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans and the wind. He said the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. God's the first cause of all things. So what I've got to do, if I'm going to be a scriptural husband, if my wife is going to be a scriptural wife, if I'm going to be a scriptural son, and my children will be scriptural children, and I'm going to be a good servant, and I'm a servant, or if I'm going to be a good master, a good leader, then I'm going to have to have some help. And that help will come from the armor of God. It says that armor is this, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, that's not my righteousness, but His. And then I'm to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, standing firmly in the gospel of the grace of God. I'm to take the shield of faith. I'm to take the helmet of salvation, which is the helmet of the Savior, to guard my head against false doctrine. I'm to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what it says. This is what it says. God will bless what it says too. And God will bless that man or that woman who dares to believe what it says and walk in it. But that's the key. Submission. It'll destroy arguments. It'll destroy conflict. It'll destroy warfare when we submit. Starting with Christ, coming right on down through all of the walks of life. Submit yourselves to one another. As unto the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. Out of reverence for the Lord. Because that's what He commands. Our Father in heaven, work in these rebellious, proud, sinful hearts of ours a submission to Christ, our Redeemer. Break our hearts. We are so proud. We want our way. We want our will. Our thoughts are not Thy thoughts. Our ways are not Thy ways. And when Thy way is clearly set before us, we look for a way around it. We look for a way to avoid it. We look for a way to escape it. But there is no escape. There's no way to avoid it. This is Thy way. Give us a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Grant, O Lord, that we shall be so smitten in our hearts and humbled before Thee that we can say with Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm less than the least of all the saints. I look not on my own welfare, but the welfare of others. Make our homes happy homes in which there's love and subjection, submission, surrender, reverence and honor, respect. Make us scriptural children that we might honor our parents, not just with our lips, but with our hearts, that we might respect them. Give them that esteem which the church gives to the Heavenly Father. And Lord, make us good workmen, good servants. Let our reputation be one of integrity and honesty and truth and dedication. And Lord, help us who are leaders to remember we've got a master to whom we are responsible. And we pray that You'd use this message in each of our hearts. Let us learn this word, if it be Thy will, for us personally. Let's learn it tonight. Submission. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.